Today, on The Journey.
Unbending convictions on non-essential issues is dangerous. Knowledge alone produces a heart of pride. But knowledge mixed with love, man, that produces a heart of grace.
It's the small sacrifices you make that sometimes have the greatest impact. You give up a small pleasure, and a weaker believer keeps their spiritual balance. On today's broadcast, Ron Moore shares how and why that's done and the difference it makes for a watching world. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourage its proper use. You can get yours at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Real Life, Sacrifice for Others, on The Journey.
Let's pray and ask God for His help as we look at His Word. Father, we thank You that You love us and You care for us. And Lord, we don't always understand things going on in our life. We don't understand the things going on in our world, in our country. But nothing takes You by surprise. And You're a God who works in every circumstance. You are a sovereign God, and Lord, our confidence is in that. Father, as we look at Your Word, we pray that You would be with us and that You would teach us as only You can do. We always say and are reminded again, we have nothing to say worthwhile unless it comes from Your Word. And so I pray, Father, that You would speak to us as only You can do. And we pray that You'd be with us in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 as we continue our study through this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. In challenging times where there's confusion and fear and anxiety, it is so important for believers to show grace and compassion to each other in their network of family and friends. And in 1 Corinthians 8, we're going to see how we do that. We're going to see how we can care for each other, even if we need to be caring for each other digitally right now. So let me set the context for this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So the church in Corinth, they're going through this tough stretch. Within the church, there's sexual immorality, and there are divisions, and there are marriage issues that they're dealing with. Then outside the church, we saw last time that they're going through probably a famine. Paul calls it this present distress. This famine was sweeping throughout Greece at that time. So just like today, they were going through some challenging times within the church and outside the church. Another issue they were dealing with, there were believers in the church that felt eating meat offered to an idol was wrong. And there were believers in the church who believed that eating meat offered to idols was just fine. This meat offered to idols was sold in the store, I'm assuming at discount rates. And here you are going through a famine. So food scarce, not a lot of options. And if you can get food for cheaper, man, what a great opportunity. So some believers with this religious background where meat offered to idols was wrong, it was a big deal for them not to eat that meat. And the reason is they had this experience in their life that they couldn't shake. God had saved them. Christ had come into their life, but they still had this experience of eating this meat that was offered to an idol. And they remembered that when they were involved in these religions where meat was offered to idols, that there was crazy ceremonies going on with that, sexual immorality, all kinds of vulgar ceremonies going on. And they also believed that demons attached themselves to meat and went into a body through the food. And so when you offered the meat to idols and you did a burnt offering, then that burned the demons off so the meat could be taken into your body and demons wouldn't go into your body. So they had this crazy experience and they couldn't shake that experience. Now, other people said, what's meat offered to idols? It's just a metal or a wooden object and it's like offering meat to nothing. So there's just no real existence in an idol. So meat offered to an idol, it's fine to eat. Think about the situation. One day you're invited to a meal at a home of a respected Corinthian Christian. And at dinner time, man, they set the table. There's mashed potatoes, fried okra, there's corn on the cob, there's green bean casserole with that mushroom stuff, and the strawberry jello with pretzels on the bottom and then like an inch of cream on the top. And it's all great. And man, your mouth is watering. And then they bring out this roast and they set it right in the middle of the table. And your mouth is watering. And you say, man, that is one good looking roast. Where did you get that? And the person says, oh, I got it at the meat market. It had been offered to an idol. I got it for cheap. I put it in the pot last night. It's been simmering for hours, but you didn't hear anything after they said it was bought at the idol meat market. All you can think about is your past images, thinking of the demons being burned off. So your conscience says, I can't eat the meat. But you're at this believer's home that you trust and you love them and you care for them and you don't want to offend them. So you can't eat the meat, but you don't want to offend the believer. So you're caught between a roast and a hard place. So these are the things going on in the Corinthian church. How do we show grace with each other in this situation? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. So Paul says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge, and this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So Paul's addressing the Corinthian Christians who believe that idols are just a wooden object or metal object, and food offered to these nothings are not contaminated. These people, Paul said, had the knowledge, and Paul agrees with them, that offering meat to an idol, which is really nothing, is okay. Now, Paul says, knowledge alone is dangerous. Unbending convictions on non-essential issues is dangerous. And so Paul says, knowledge by itself puffs up. It brings pride. But Paul says, knowledge always has to be connected to love. Love builds up. Let me say it like this. Knowledge alone produces a heart of pride. But knowledge mixed with love, man, that produces a heart of grace. Pride hurts others. Grace heals others. Now today, with everything going on, we have a great opportunity to show some real grace to other people in our life. Look at verse 2. Paul says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. What's Paul saying there? Paul's just saying, if you think you know everything, you may not know everything you think you know. So just hang on as you work through this issue with other people. Look at verse 3. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Paul says, let's not worry about the meat offered to idols. You may not know everything you think you know about that, but here's the deal. Here's where we have to focus. You need to know God and be known by God. That's the real issue. Look at verse 4. Therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. It's just wood or metal, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven and earth, as indeed there are many gods and lords, Paul says, we get it. But don't forget, there are others who have a different experience. And they can't shake that experience in their life. And so we have to be gracious to others as we go through this. Now, Paul says, look, it's not about the meat offered to idols. We can talk about that. We can discuss that. We can work through that. But then he says in verse 6, yet as for us, for believers, here's where we have to focus. Here's what we know. There's one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom all things exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. What's Paul saying there? Paul's saying, let's focus on what's really important. It's not about meat offered to idols. There is one God. We worship one God. And that's who we're going to focus on, Paul says, during this time, when there's challenges within the church and challenges from the outside. There is one God we worship, and we worship him in only one way. We worship him through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the source and the subject. Jesus is the agent. We don't offer meat to wooden statues. We don't worry about that. We offer ourselves to the living God. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, that's generic, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable spiritual worship, which is your spiritual act of worship. So Paul says this whole thing about idols, let's not worry about that. Let's focus on who God is. And let's focus on a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former associations with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So Paul says some people still remember those wild religious ceremonies. They can't shake that sinful past. Don't worry about that right now. Keep your focus on God in a relationship with him through Jesus. Look at verse 8. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat it, and we're no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. So Paul says, if you're eating meat offered to an idol, even though it doesn't bother you at all, if that becomes a stumbling block to somebody else, then we don't do it, because we care about that other person too much to cause them to stumble. Look at verse 10. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged? And if his conscience is weak, to eat the food offered to an idol. So someone walks by, they see you eating this food offered to an idol, and they say, well, that's a strong believer. I think I can eat the food offered to an idol, but their conscience is still weak, and they're convicted by that. Look at verse 12. Thus, sinning against your brother and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against God. So when you do something that causes your brother to stumble, their conscience is weak, you're not just sinning against your brother, but you're sinning against Christ. And then look what Paul says in verse 13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. You hear what Paul's saying? It's not worth it. It's not worth doing anything that's going to make my brother stumble. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice in order to build others up. Even if I have the knowledge that an idol is nothing, I'm going to put that down in order to show grace to another brother. Now, offering meat to an idol is not really an issue for us, is it? Although I got to tell you a story. I was teaching a class at Word of Life Bible Institute, about 130 students. I was teaching through this passage. When I got to this part, I said, none of us are worried about eating meat offered to an idol. Two hands shot up. Oh, this is interesting. And there was a young woman from South Africa, and she said, yeah, we actually do have that issue. She said, where I'm from, there are tribes that offer meat to idols, and it's sold for cheap. And so in our church, we decided we will not eat the meat offered to an idol. So that was interesting. Right behind her was a guy from India. And he said, they got the same issue. It's not meat, but the Buddhists will have these religious ceremonies. And after the ceremonies, they give gifts to neighbors. And so the Muslims won't take the gifts, but he said, Christians there, we decided to take the gifts so that we can demonstrate to the Buddhists our care for them, our acceptance of them, and so that we can have an opportunity to share Christ with them. So I thought that was interesting that there are people in the world who have the issues that Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians. But we don't have those issues today, here at least in our country. So what I want to do is to think about the transferable principles that Paul teaches us in this passage. And I think there are three, so let's just work through them. First of all, Paul teaches us in this chapter that confidence plus compassion equals encouragement. Confidence plus compassion equals encouragement. In chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, knowledge puffs up. If you just have knowledge, that puffs up. But when you marry that with compassion, love, that produces confidence. God's word is what gives us confidence, doesn't it? God's love gives us compassion. God's word gives us confidence. God's love gives us compassion. So when we think of the confidence that comes from God's word, we want to make sure we share that confidence with everyone in our life, particularly during this time. And we live in a time where our world is filled with fear and it's filled with confusion and it's filled with anxiety and then all the unknowns. And that just causes more fear and confusion and anxiety. And so in the midst of that, as believers, we can say, man, we go to God's word and that's what gives us confidence. We know that God's sovereign. We know he's in control. And we need to share the promises of God. There are many promises of God. Here's one, Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So as Christians, we can say, man, God's in control. God's got this. And that's a powerful message that we can share with everyone in our life. God's word gives us confidence. So every believer needs that right now more than ever. We need to be in God's word and hear the promises of God, know the promises of God, and share the promises of God with compassion. God's word gives us confidence. God's love gives us compassion. We have the means to tell other people about Jesus and to continually share this confidence we have in God's word. A.W. Tozer said this, a frightened world needs a fearless church. A frightened world needs a fearless church. And we have the opportunity to say, look, we don't know everything going on. We can't foretell the future, but we know this. We trust in the God who holds the future. We trust in the God who is the God of the past, present, and future. He never changes. His promises are true. Not time to panic, but a time to pray. That confidence plus compassion equals encouragement, and that starts at home. Man, you have a great opportunity, moms and dads, to demonstrate what confidence really looks like. Your kids are watching, and they're hearing stuff. They know there are concerns. They're texting with their friends. And as parents, you can say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen exactly, but here's what I do know. I have confidence in God. And this gives you the opportunity to share promises of Scripture with your children. It gives you the opportunity to sit with them and read Scripture with them together. This gives you the opportunity to drill down on God's word individually so that you can share that with your kids. And in a time when you're tense at home, when you got a lot of things going on, when things are different and everyone's in the house, show compassion, show grace to others. Let them know that you have the confidence of the living God and you show compassion to each other and encouragement while we can share it outside the home. And it starts in the home. Confidence plus compassion equals encouragement. Here's the second transferable principle we learn from this passage. Use digital communication to major on the majors. Now, this passage teaches us that there are some gray areas in the Christian life, right? In Corinth, some people ate meat offered to idols. Some people said, no, that's a sin to me. So we know that. And in the church, there are issues that are gray areas, and we can debate those all day long. But it's time now to major on the majors. In chapter 8, verse 6, Paul says this, chapter 8, verse 6, for us, there's only one God. Let's focus on him. He's the Father from whom are all things and from whom we exist. We are here because of him. He is sovereign over all. Our trust and our confidence, it's in him alone. Let that be our focus. And we have one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. He's the agent of all things. He's the one through whom we have salvation. And so this is a time when we can share with people salvation through Jesus Christ alone. So let's major on the majors. Let's make sure that as we interact with people, we are focusing our confidence in Jesus Christ. And for those people who are going through some times of anxiety, we can say, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. God does. And I have this relationship with Him through Jesus. Let me tell you about that. Let me share that with you. What a great opportunity we have to major on the majors. So let's stay focused on who God is, the promises of God, the confidence we have in Him, and our relationship we have with Him through Jesus Christ. One more thing. Evaluate your heart and develop a heart of sacrifice. That's one of the things this passage teaches us. Look at verse 13 again. Paul says, you know what? I don't have an issue with eating meat offered to idols. An idol, he says, has no real existence. I don't have an issue, but here's the deal. If food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. It's not worth it. I'm not going to do anything to make my brother stumble. Now, what's the principle there? Well, the principle is this. We're in community with each other. We take care of each other. We make sacrifices for each other. We're not going to do anything to discourage one another or cause another to stumble or cause fear to build up in others. We want to encourage people. We want to encourage people by the text messages that we send. Man, we have an opportunity to text someone. I had several people do that today. How you doing? Praying for you. What a great encouragement that is. So send a text. Make a phone call. Just ask, how are you doing? Maybe you need to deliver groceries to a shut-in. Show some grace to your family. FaceTime your kids or your elderly friends or grandparents. We're going to have some challenging times, but we can interact with each other, again, digitally, and it's pretty cool to be able to do that. Also, we're going to ask you to keep giving generously. Give so we can continue doing the ministries that we need to do during this critical time. We can continue to minister in a new way, in a new opportunity. We encourage you to give.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
I have this deep conviction that every person desires to live a life bigger than they are. Each of us yearns to make an impact that lives beyond us.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.